This past week, I was in a conference in New Orleans, or as the natives call it, Nolens. And I was able to arrive home last night, but I arrived home fairly late. My afternoon, of course, was an adventure. I left my hotel on time. I made it to the New Orleans airport, only to find out that my flight to Dallas-Fort Worth was going to be delayed. It ended up being delayed by over an hour, which meant I was not going to make my connecting flight. Of course, I could feel the tension and the stress billowing up within me. It was hard for me to be able to concentrate on my conversation on this airplane. So we got to our destination. My flight was going to depart at 4:30. I arrived at 4:15. We're taxiing on the runway. I get off the plane at 4:30, the time my flight is taking off. So I said to myself, I am going to just run roughshod through these people if necessary, using a few stiff arms along the way. I've got to get to my flight. I don't know that there's another flight out of Dallas-Fort Worth to Seattle. I don't want to have to call upon Kevin or someone to preach with no notice. I got to get home one way or another. So I ended up recognizing, okay, I'm going to be at gate C6. The Lord has answered my prayers. My connecting flight is at gate C21. I'm like, praise God. It could have been at gate A. It could have been at gate B. What are the odds? It is at gate C. Yes, no problem. All I have to do is follow the signs. So I got off of the flight. And you've got to understand, I have a big bag that is filled with books and binders. I can't even zip the thing closed. It weighs a ton. And then I've got a suitcase that I had to sit on in order to zip it closed. And it's one of those cheap, and I mean cheap. If you know me, it's the cheapest of cheap. It's one of those suitcases that has wheels, but when you roll it, it turns over all over and rolls your ankle instead. So I am going to take off like a bat out of heaven, trying to make my flight. So I get off, I see the sign, take a left to gate C21. So I take a left, and I am running. And then all of a sudden I see an escalator. But it's one of those escalators with stairs, and it looks like the stairway to heaven. I mean, I know everything is bigger in Texas, but this was overkill. I mean, the stairs, I mean, felt like they were this tall. And I'm lugging the luggage, and I'm just climbing this stairway to heaven, and I get to the top, and I know gate C21 is going to be there. Gate C21 is not there. There is a sign for me to take a tram. So I get on this tram, and it says, to gate C21. Number of other gates. I take this tram, and my heart is just beating. I'm just feeling stressed and anxious. Get off that tram. I mean, before the doors almost opened, I'm pushing through. And I look for signs to C21. I'm supposed to go down an escalator this time. One of those long escalators. I'm like, what in the world is going on here? Am I a contestant on Candid Camera or The Amazing Race? I mean, I don't understand this. I mean, I know this airport is supposed to be humongous, but I can't figure this out. So I get off the escalator, and then I see the sign. To gate 21. C21. And I'm at gate C29. I'm like, yes! I mean, it's only a few yards. I mean, I can do this. Well, a few Texan yards. So I make it to gate C25. And keep in mind, I've been sprinting this whole way. I've got a heavy jacket on. I'm dragging everything. I am hot. I'm sweaty. I'm bothered. And at gate C25, I finally stopped sprinting. I walked. And I'm like, oh no, okay, I gotta make my flight. If I don't sprint the last leg and I miss my flight, I'm gonna be so ticked. So I put it into overdrive. It was probably more like slow-mo. I mean, I was just drained. I was wiped out. I see gate C21 in the distance. Of course, no one's there. No one. I'm like, oh great, you know, I probably missed my flight. Man greets me at the finish line and he says, who are you? What's your name? I said, Keith Krell. He's like, oh, we've been waiting on you, Mr. Krell. But why didn't you take a right? and just walk down to gate C21. You were at gate C6. And my heart is just pounding. It is beating out of my chest. There is sweat that is coming down my cheeks. My armpits are just soaked. They are drenched. And all I could say to him was, "Sir, I just followed the directions. I'm sorry. I did the best that I could." Well, then I had that fateful moment. You know that fateful moment where you're the last passenger. The plane has been waiting on you. And you have to walk down that longest aisle of your life. Every eye is on you. Beady eyes. Wrinkled foreheads. I mean, people are ticked. They're suspicious as to why I'm late. And they're just flat out irritated. And so, of course, I'm not making eye contact. I'm just making my way to my seat. Open up the overhead compartment. It's full. Go to the next one. It's full. I finally have to go to one of the stewards and say, "Is there anywhere to put my bag?" And they have to go through looking for a place to put my bag. I'm trying to be inconspicuous here. Finally, they go to first class and they put my bag in first class. And I have to again make that long walk to my seat. And I can't get my bag underneath the seat. And everyone's looking at me, of course. And I'm dying. I'm dying inside. I want to show you what this was like for me. Here's my bag. Can't even close this thing. Here is my cheap, no good suitcase. And I'm just like kicking it. I mean, I am kicking it all the way. Watch out, people. Stiff arm here. Stiff arm there. I mean, I'm just sprinting. My suitcase is hitting my ankles, is tripping over me. I can't make it. I'm at the gate. I make it. I'm there. Finally, I sit down. I sit down in my seat, dripping with sweat. And it dawns on me. This is what I often do in the course of my life. I end up running around in circles. I end up working so hard, trying to solve my family issues, trying to overcome church challenges, trying to ensure that I'm the man God wants me to be. I'm sweating. I'm working. I'm genuine. I'm sincere. I'm trying to do everything right. I'm following the 5-step method, the 8-step solutions. I'm doing everything. And all I needed to do was turn right. Turn right into the arms of Christ. To look at His death, to look at His resurrection, and to realize I've been working myself ragged. I'm out of breath. I'm tired. I'm beaten down. I'm worn down. All I needed to do was cling to Christ. All I needed was to rely upon Him. All I needed was to look to Him. But I'm too busy. I'm too frantic. Have any of you ever been there? Can you relate to what I'm talking about? In John chapter 16, Jesus is going to help us to understand that His disciples understand our plight. We are in the midst of a series in the Upper Room Discourse. And the Upper Room Discourse is John chapters 13 through 17. This is the last evening of Jesus' earthly life before He goes to the cross. And He wants to tell His disciples that which is most important. What is on His heart? What is on His mind? That's what He shares with His disciples. And what Jesus is going to emphasize in John chapter 16 is, troubled times are times for trust. Whatever you're going through today, most likely there is some trouble in your life. It may be marriage, it may be family, it may be vocational, it may be spiritual, it may be emotional, but most likely you have some struggles in your life, just like I do. Jesus wants you to know that when troubled times hit, your first thought needs to be that you will trust in Him alone. So let's look at John chapter 16. We're going to be looking at verses 16 through 33. If you're not familiar with where the Gospel of John is found, just turn 4 books into the New Testament. You'll pass Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and then you'll land in John. John chapter 16. If you don't have a Bible with you today, you can just grab one from one of the chairs in front of you. or ask someone to pass you a copy of God's Word, and then turn to page 86 of the New Testament. Page 86, and you'll find John 16, verses 16 through 33. Now, in these verses, Jesus is going to help us to see that Christianity is so simple, that a relationship with Him is far more simple than we make it out to be. It's just appreciating His death and His resurrection, and understanding that out of those two works, everything pertaining to life and godliness is given to us. We have everything that we need in Christ. Jesus begins in verses 16 through 19, and He's going to say that anxiety is going to hit believers if they're not focused in on the resurrection. Look at these verses with me. Jesus says, "A little while, and you will no longer see me. And again, a little while, and you will see me." Some of His disciples then said to one another, "What is this thing He is telling us? A little while, and you will not see me? And again, a little while, and you will see me? And because I go to the Father."